Life can always use more Cedar Point. And right now, you can get more Cedar Point for less with the Fun Day Bundle for just $74.99. Each bundle gets you admission, parking, and all-day dining for one low price. That means more coasters like Steel Vengeance and more nostalgic fun in the boardwalk area. But you better hurry because this bundle won't last. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
I want to know whose idea of a hard time is 7 weeks away from home on a planet that has plenty of food, shelter, breathable air.
Yeah, There's no war.
You've got communications. Whose idea of so tough that they would succumb to, you know, the forced machinations of other? Whose idea is that is that bad? Because you are a weak and pathetic human being. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Cantina here on the Genreverse YouTube channel. It is the Cantina. I already said that. I have this AVR intro, and I do more anime reactions here than anything else. Anyways, I'm Kyle, joined today temporarily by Shockey, and temporarily, I mean, maybe Cam will show up and there'll be Cam as well. But you got two of us today to talk about the Acolyte episodes 6 and 7. Be sure to subscribe here on the channel. We should be like your place for, I want to say, unbiased Star Wars reviews, but I mean, all reviews have a bias. But what I mean is, like, none of us are beholden to any particular era other than the OT, and we're not like loyal to George or loyal to Disney or loyal to anyone. It's if it's good, we say it's good. If it's bad, we say it's bad. And that's kind of hard to find in Star Wars today. So go ahead, hit that subscribe button for that anime content, other podcasts covering things in geek pop culture, reactions, reviews, some live streams. LRMonline.com should be your place for all written entertainment news, as well as celebrity interviews from the LRM YouTube channel and more. All of our podcasts go up on your favorite podcast apps, and we do actually have a merch store. Redbubble link is in the description box below. It's been a while.
It has. Yeah, 2 weeks. Yep.
Yeah, we went and covered Anime Expo. Mm-hmm. Christine and I did, and we missed a couple of weeks of all sorts of stuff, so we got some catching up to do. Episode 6, I vaguely remember it being like, isn't this what we should have had the whole damn time? But even then, it was still kind of like, meh.
Yeah.
Why don't you tell me a bit about what you thought was good about episode 6 there, Shockey?
Yeah, so like this episode, we had three stories going on, and so basically I put it into like the good, the bad, and the ugly. So I'll go with the good first. The good, we finally get a little bit more information, a little bit more storyline with the what I consider the Acolyte, you know, Kamir, you know, the Sith apprentice, whatever you want to call him and stuff. Almost get a full naked butt shot screen there and stuff. But he's, to me, the most interesting character out of this whole show. Like I've said before, this show should have been, you know, the focal point of Kamir, and maybe, you know, have the Jedi as a secondary storyline and stuff. But it's an interesting aspect. We get a little bit of inside of why he turned to the dark side, or like he was a Jedi before, and it looks like on when you see his back, he's got some scars from what looks like a whip. So, you know, we think that's Vernestra's lightsaber. Maybe that he was the, you know, apprentice to Vernestra and didn't work out. And little clues here and there and stuff. But the dialogue between Osha and Kamir was better. There were some issues there.
Wonkiness.
Wonkiness. And then trying to, like, I don't know, like do like little sexual tension moments and stuff, right? Which I didn't think they needed that. I really don't. It was just enough just having, you know, Osha kind of being intrigued by, you know, because Osha left the Jedi Council. We don't know why, or Jedi Order, don't know why or anything like that. But she's intrigued by what Kamir has to say and how he views things and stuff. And then we, you know, see that they're on this random planet that's I can't remember the actual name. It starts with a B. I'm horrible with name, guys.
And, yeah, I don't remember.
And you know how he's able to make his armor or the cortosis. Yeah. So it's, you know, I thought that was the best part of the show. Okay. And of this episode, I think we wasted an opportunity to really, you know, expand on this character for five episodes prior to it. And so, yeah, that to me, that focal point was the good part of it. Do you want me to go on the bad and the ugly, or you want
I'll say the only things that I can really remember were stuff dealing with Kamir as far as like good stuff from me, but yeah, you go. I'll say this. Show note, Shockey's not coming at all. It's just you and me. So.
Oh, you mean Cam?
Yeah, Cam. Yeah. Sorry, you're Shockey.
I'm Shockey. I'm here.
I'm still not recovered, guys.
You're good.
It was a long ass trip. So, Shockey, go ahead and carry on with what you thought
okay,
about
so
episode six.
I'm going back to, it's still on episode six, the bad part of it. And the bad part is the Vernestra storyline.
God,
Vernestra,
she cannot act.
Her storyline has kind of been, I don't know, like a third degree story, you know, something that just kind of pillars in the background and stuff. And here's why I say it's the bad part of it, because we finally get to see her use her lightsaber when they go trying to find Saul and, you know, and they realize that all the other remaining Jedi are dead and stuff. And she uses the whip lightsaber, right?
Light whip, yeah.
Light whip, you know, and stuff. The problem I had with this was
the CGI?
The CGI.
God, that looked awful.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. It's not my choice, but hey, it's a creative design, whatever. I'm okay with that.
I'm not even talking the blade. I'm talking when she pulls it, like, calls it out in front of her. It looks like a video game.
Yeah, it's bad, but where I think they messed up was in the marketing, because if a lot of the commercials, a lot of the trailers leading up to it, we see Vernestra use the lightsaber whip, the light whip, whatever you want to call it. I think that would have had more impact, though, this episode, if we had not seen it, not known that Vernestra had a lightsaber, what type of lightsaber, light whip, whatever you want to call it, with showing Kamir's back, seeing the scars. We kind of, like, once you see those cards, you're like, oh, that looks like a whip. Ah, Vernestra. If you had saved that moment of her using her light whip to kill the bug, you know, for all of, you know, that was the only purpose of it.
Brains.
That would have been like, oh, man, you know, oh, shit moment, like, to me. Like, damn, you know, maybe Kamir was, you know, when he says he's in the Jedi, he was in the Jedi Order and stuff and everything. And then you see the scars, like, somebody got him, you know, stabbed him in the back is what kind of they said, or whipped him in the back. And then you see that moment. I thought, like, that was whoever marketing was, or, you know, that should have been saved. Like, to be honest, I don't know if it was just like, hey, we just want to show it so we get people talking about it, you know, and stuff. But, yeah, it was a poor choice, and you know, for all, you know, Star Wars fans out there watching.
They must
the show.
Have borrowed some trailer people from Sony.
Yeah, exactly, right? You know, you use up the Suicide Squad's best parts of the movie and then show it that way, or any Spider-Man film or anything like that. You know, it wasn't good. That wasn't a good thing to do, because then, once you already see that and you already saw the scars on Kamira, then Vernestra, we don't need the story now. She didn't need to travel. It would have been like, okay, Vernestra's back on Coruscant. She's the one who stuff, but now she's on.
It only takes like 30 minutes to get from anywhere to Coruscant, apparently.
Right.
So.
Exactly. It doesn't matter if you're in the Outer Rim or right next door.
No, Outer Rim is the hour away. You can get Domino's delivered from Coruscant to the Outer Rim.
DoorDash. So, yeah, that to me was the bad part about it and stuff. Like, I thought that was such a wasted moment, you know, because that was in every single commercial, every single trailer, you know, Vernestra using that light
bug.
Just to hit a bug. I thought, oh, okay, maybe she's going to, maybe like that tease that we got was going to be something bigger, like more bugs are going to attack them and she's got to, you know, and then we get to see even like more expansive look on it. But that was it. And I was like, wow. If I had been the director or showrunner of this show, I would have said this moment right here plays into the story, you know, what we assume is the story with Kamir and stuff. Don't show it, you know, use any other type of lightsaber battle scene that we have, but this is something that's key to the storyline. You know, it's almost like watching The Sixth Sense, spoiler alert, and in the commercial, you know, when you see Haley Osment say, "I see dead people," and it's like, oh, Bruce Willis says, "Oh yeah, I am a dead person," you know, the entire, it ruined it, you know. It would, so that to me was bad, you know. And then the ugly, I'll just jump right into it, and then you can kind of counterpoint to it. The ugly to me was the entire part with Saul and May. Like, the running around on the ship, Saul not knowing it's May, thinking it's OSHA, Basil, you know, Basil, running around.
Basil.
Yeah, Basil, you know, herb, you know, stuff that I put on my spaghetti and pizza. But, you know, just doing his fake karate moves, you know, trying to intimidate, you know, that he knows. This is where it gets weird. Like, he knows it's not OSHA, it's May, but, mm-hmm. you know, Saul doesn't. Saul supposedly has this big connection to OSHA, but can't tell the difference between OSHA and May. And I thought about it a little bit after watching episode 7, maybe because they're, you know, identical yeah. twins. He couldn't. But then that doesn't make any sense either, because then why would Saul then have such a connection with OSHA, just OSHA and not May? You know, want to protect OSHA and not May. So that to me just kind of, it makes the story, I don't understand. I don't follow it. I know that there's a constant battle on X, formerly known as Twitter, about this damn show and how it's, some people saying it's the storyline so good and some saying so bad. I'm on that. The storyline is god awful in the direction yeah. of it. You know, I hope that there's somebody that's up for the challenge of re-editing the show to make it, you know, a 45-minute, hour-long movie and make it better. But I don't know how you can do that.
I don't think you can. I really found, like I said, I had issues remembering episode 6 until you were kind of talking about it. One of the biggest things, and I even mentioned, I was looking back on my phone while you were talking to see what notes I'd sent you guys while I watched it. I think I watched it in the airport.
Yeah.
And one of them was definitely the distance thing. I was really upset at how they were like, you know, in a New Hope, they make it seem like Luke is training for, you know, a couple hour ride to where Alderaan is from Tatooine. However, if you headcanon, it's not that hard to headcanon. We only see a snippet of the training that Luke may right. have been training off and on for days. But then Han comes in from the cockpit talking about how quickly they got away. So Star Wars has always had some issues with distance. I think it got better later on, but it doesn't really get fleshed out unless you look at the EU. But this show has just made, and I've mentioned this with several Disney things, they make it all seem so much smaller. Like where literally you can get from one end of the galaxy to the next in the blink of an eye. And I don't like that, because not only were you showing, like you said the multiple story points, you had the people going from Coruscant out, having enough time to walk around and interact and do their investigations while all these other events are going on, and it's just it completely destroys the concept of
right.
of time and distance in it. The actress that is playing Venestra, it sounds like she wants to be Nebula from Guardians.
Yes, I do get
but
that.
She
yes.
sucks at it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't feel like this is how the character is. I really don't. Sometimes and some of this goes to the writing as well. Let's face it, no matter who's writing for who, it's garbage.
yeah. Mm-hmm.
It is, but their facial reaction is just not, in my opinion. Maybe they're trying to do this, but it's not good acting. Like, even to be a Nebula type stoic, or not even stoic, just like cold even at times, it's not coming off as anything but robotic. And it's clear that there's supposed to be these emotional moments, but they have no... It's like, for any anime fans out there, it's like the English voice actress for Saber, or maybe even the voice direction and actress for Saber in the Fate series, where she's trying to emulate this very stoic yet heartfelt Japanese voice actress, but it just comes off robotic. Like, you don't manage to have any of the nuance or anything like that. You don't manage to show, I don't want to say cold emotion, but like hard emotion, like emotion that's very tempered, emotion that's very to the point. It just comes off robotic. The stuff with Kamir and Osha, I see the tension points that you were trying to make, and I agree. It kind of feels like it's there, but why? You know, it doesn't quite hit. And it's not me saying like, oh, this doesn't belong in Star Wars. It's saying it's just not executed well. They could have had something like this similar if it had been executed better. So no, oh, you just don't want sex in Star Wars. Generally, I don't want anything overt. But it does happen in Star Wars. There's this great scene in the New Jedi Order books, which were not all bangers. But Lando and a Twi'lek Jedi, who had been a slave at one point, complete a mission, and she's like, so do you want to head to the back and celebrate? And he's like, I'm married. And she's like, and? And it's, he's like, no, I'm good. Those days are behind me. And, oh, I had the wrong those days are behind me. And but it was like, you know, it's nothing overt. You know what I'm saying? And Mirax and Karan have some steamy moments and whatnot in the Rogue Squadron, in the X-Wing books. But again, not saying that this didn't need to be in there, just executed poorly. You know, this was called The Acolyte. We were promised a dark side story, and we've really only gotten two dark side episodes. One's very action heavy. One has a bit more backstory and stuff. Everything else, and I don't want to hear, but Maze, the dark side user, too. No. If we had gotten more of her and her master, sure. The whole show's a mess, and I really, really am displeased with it. I hate it.
Life can always use more Cedar Point. And right now, you can get more Cedar Point for less with the Fun Day Bundle for just $74.99. Each bundle gets you admission, parking, and all-day dining for one low price. That means more coasters like Steel Vengeance and more nostalgic fun in the boardwalk area. But you better hurry because this bundle won't last. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
I think I actually hate this show because even the good stuff, like the best of it, is only good compared to what we've gotten. And the best things there are just things that we imagine based on the potential, the possibility. What of substance, what that has actually hit your screen has actually been good. Some of the lightsaber fights. And I loved, that was one of the things that I don't think we got to talk about in depth because some of the reactions to it hadn't really come out yet. But some of the people that are trying to break it down and like this Shand guy or Sand guy or whatever, his idiocy and his ridiculousness with trying to, pardon me one second. What was I talking about? We're talking about the lightsaber.
About how
the guy that broke it down YouTuber. and he's like, all these issues, this wouldn't be real, that wouldn't be real, and then he goes and defends the prequel trilogy, and then sometimes it's not about what's real, it's about or realistic, it's about what looks best on screen. Fuck you, dude. You're a fucking idiot. Like, It's all stage shit, guys. It's all stage shit. Like, I've done fencing. My son does fencing. I'm no freaking competitor or anything because, you know, injuries and whatnot. But trust me, man, all of them in there, they have a very clear, defined line between what they know is Hollywood and what is not. But even then, the suspension of belief kind of, it's limited. When you start having Obi-Wan and Anakin just the whole freaking time, the same two moves, or the stupid disco dancing with the damn lightsabers. I hate it. I really do. So get bent, dude. They both have issues when it comes to realism, but let's not sit here and pretend that the prequels are the pinnacle of logical dueling, whether Hollywood style or not. Talk about who's aiming for who, who's aiming for weapons. The prequels is nothing but aiming for each other's weapons. It's fucking stupid. You guys piss me off with this. Anyways, after the lightsaber side rant, let's talk about episode 7 so we can bitch, moan, and complain some more, because this was some of the absolute worst writing I've ever seen. Our big reveals, ladies and gentlemen. Sol has some sort of weird, like legitimately weird connection, obsession with Osha. 2, everything's about miscommunications. He goes and spies and basically sees things that he can't, you know, verify, but they weird him out, and we're supposed to take that as, I don't know, someone looking in on a woman's society or a woman's feelings and not truly understanding them. Yeah, got you. What he should have done is went and talked to someone and said, hey, these are the things that I saw. It's kind of weird. Not just if you've seen the things I've seen, they're in danger. Well, what makes them in danger?
Or just listen to Indara. Like,
that's what I'm saying. Like, he should have been clearly communicating with her. She should have clearly communicated with the witches when she shows up and is like, hey, my assistant here, my tag team partner, my other master here feels that these things that he saw are you know, iffy. And if the witches care, you know, about their coven and their kids, the two girls and whatnot, they'd share minimal stuff to be like, look, no one's in danger. We're not sacrificing. No one's being thrown into the pit, but this is part of our culture and whatnot. And then you have literally the two moms not communicating with each other. And I forget the one with the horns name, but she antagonizes May. And then it's all May playing with fire, legitimately playing with fire, and somehow burning a few pages brings down this whole freaking ancient mountain fortress. I don't get it. Nothing here. And then again, we have a moment where Sol sees a black magic user. We'll just say it like that, you know, dark magic, whatever, you know, dark force. He's something that's weirding him out. She starts turning into smoke and going after this girl who all of a sudden starts turning into smoke as well. And we get the innocent person shot because they're making messages, guys, but they are losing their own message in the way that they try to write it. Like, it's clear as day is what they're trying to do. This is, you know, a cop at a domestic dispute and someone gets shot that probably shouldn't have gotten shot. But also they show her literally doing something and doing something to this kid when the tensions are high, and I'm not justifying it, but I'm saying they give more context. It's almost like they're afraid to make their own bad guys. Like, if you want to do bad cops, by all means, do bad cops. We know bad cops exist. There's plenty of videos for it. Rodney King, anyone? Like, seriously, guys. Like, it's not that hard to sit there and say there were some bad cops, but they mess up their own messaging. So it all comes down to Sol having this connection and this weirdness, but they don't explain what the fracket is. And then miscommunication, nobody freaking communicating. Like we said, it's pretty simple. There's no Sith that's involved. No one seems to be playing puppetry or anything. And the Jedi aren't literally just bad guys. They're not overtly bad guys. It's a series of mistakes. So what's the reveal? What's the point? What is the freaking point? And then, oh, the girls are not avergents themselves. The planet is, or place on the planet is, and they may have been created because of it. It's all stupid. I hated it. It's boring garbage. I don't even give a damn how it ends, because what are they going to do? What are they going to do to wrap up this season? And I doubt it gets another one. And if it does, whatever. I mean, it's stupid. Where do they go? What do they do with one more episode that makes this land, Mike? I don't get it, man.
It's gonna be the it does land. It will be the most amazing thing I've ever seen in television streaming history. No, I'm with you on it. Like, it was a waste of an episode. There was no big reveal, so this could have literally been episode three. The little bit that they added to it could have just, you could have extended episode three out for maybe 5, maximum 10 more minutes and gotten the entire story out, and then that's it. And then just be like, okay, OSHA doesn't know the entire story. That's it. And, you know, because of there was a lot of issues with this. Okay, so let's see. This is supposed to be the High Republic era, the time where the Jedi are kind of like their peak, right? And right. It seems like this is the worst Republic era, like the low Republic era, you know, because the only Jedi that seems like they're acting like a Jedi is Endara and Kelnaka, you know, which give me a show with Kelnaka, you know, doing an adventure and stuff like that besides using a metal detector, you know.
I think
we would have been better off with that.
My God, I gotta one second so I don't lose this thought. I gotta say something. They
go for it.
The whole idea of them searching for the Vergence and the Force by using all these gadgets, metal detectors, and taking samples instead of meditating in and on the Force in and around the things that seem to be drawing it. What ignorance.
Yeah, like, it's almost like they're for the dark
M-word.
Cave.
I think they're looking for M-word in the samples. Yeah. Which, again, yeah. I'll say this, George Lucas, you fucking asshole.
Yeah, I mean, they're looking for a place that's similar to the dark cave on Dagobah, the place on, what is it, Octo or Luke, and stuff. And so it's, but you have to look for it, and you can sense it with the Force, because like Luke stumbled upon it and like, what is that? And Yoda's like, you don't want to go in there and stuff. So like having the, I don't know. So this being High Republic era brings it right down. Like, cause you know, Endara seems like the only one that's acting like a real Jedi. Kelnaka doesn't talk too much, but you know, but he gets possessed by the witches, you know, which he's supposed to be a Jedi Knight and stuff, and he's supposed to be able to at least combat that. But Saul's character is now garbage to me. Like, everybody loved Saul in the beginning of the show.
No, he's
like
a weirdo.
Now, to me, it's like you made him almost a pedophile because he's so enamored with it. Like, he wanted a Padawan so bad and
it's
stuff.
Weird.
And, like, and, you know, and going against the whole, like, Jedi Order rules, you got to get them when they're young, you know, and stuff like that. And disobeying the Jedi Council.
He just made the Jedi sound so gross.
Yeah, like, you know, it's weird, you know? And I don't know. But yeah, Saul's character and then the Torben, you know.
I want to go home.
Yeah,
it's been
seven weeks on a planet without war. That was such a lame excuse for a story for Torben.
I want to know who in the writing team, because it's never just one person. Someone looks over this shit. Did Leslie write all these, or is there a team of writers?
It was a team of writers.
Okay, so who,
like, she kind of oversaw the story.
I want to know whose idea of a hard time is 7 weeks away from home on a planet that has plenty of food, shelter, breathable air.
Yeah,
There's no war. You've got communications. Whose idea of so tough that they would succumb to, you know, the force machinations of other? Whose idea is that is that bad? Because you are a weak and pathetic human being.
It's a reflection of like modern society today, how kids, you know, instead of going and playing in the park, I want to go home and be on my laptop or play Fortnite and stuff and everything. And that's what they make Torben to be.
But
you know,
he has everything there except for his own building and his own, not even his own building, because he would be at the temple.
He would be at the Jedi Temple on Korra.
It's garbage.
But the thing is too is that correct me if I'm wrong. I know I haven't read every single book out there. I'm not the most knowledgeable person in Star Wars, but there are multiple Jedi temples. There, you know, not
at
just
one point,
Coruscant.
Yeah.
Was it? Yeah. Yep. And with the High Republic era, it should have been that. Like, you know, it's not just Coruscant. You get, you know, it's all these other places that the Jedi are at their peak at that moment and stuff.
Different
and,
training centers.
They were two out of the four.
Like a military asset. You got to deploy them out.
Right. So two out of the four Jedi are only worthy of being called Jedi, and the other two are horrible at it. The Osha May storyline, it didn't advance at all. Nothing changed from it. I know Cam was holding out like, oh, you know, May didn't really burn down the mountain, you know, something else. No, May burned it down on accident, and she ran to her mom, you know, and cried, Mom! And, you know, like, it's... That, to me, is just... lazy writing, lazy, you know, storytelling. And that's what this episode, you know, we're gonna get two background stories on this, and it's gonna be this big reveal, and now we're gonna know why Osha and May are... No, the only reason why Osha and May got separated is because Saul was a shitty Jedi who was, instead of trying to just raise up two kids, he tried to hold up the bridge and had to struggle with that and stuff. God, so he lets one go and saves the other. Okay, but Saul, like, to me, anyone who's a Saul lover after this episode, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
it's just like, it's lazy storytelling.
Maybe
like,
Jedi can't lift humans.
Because
Vader couldn't lift Obi-Wan over the fire.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
But he wanted to fight a big, powerful Obi-Wan. And then why did he chase after him immediately and get pissed every time he escaped? You guys are apologizing
fire.
For a shitty series.
Reminded him of Mustafar and got scared.
He's the one that set the fire.
I know.
Counter arguments to all of you're bringing up what others try to say, and it's like you cannot protect Kenobi's writing more than you can protect this one's.
Yeah, this writing room was god awful. I feel bad for the actors and actresses.
I do too.
You're doing the best with what you got, but this was a horrible story. And whoever saw this and greenlit this and from Lucasfilm and Disney, you know, shame on you, because this was lazy. This was absolutely. I don't care if they needed to, you know, take an extra year to rewrite the whole entire story, you know, so be it, do it, you know. But this was, I mean, you had all the time.
This
the world
was already years
COVID,
in
so.
The making.
Yeah, but if you need to push it, you know, further and further. But you're talking about, you know, the Sith and, you know, everything. This has been false advertisement. All we talked about was Leslie Headland saying this is going to be the background of the Sith and the origins of it, and it hasn't been. We've learned is that there were some lazy ass Jedi. Like, this almost is turning into like Police Academy if you think about it. You know, the way the Jedi are.
Don't
acting.
Insult
like,
Police Academy like that. Okay, this might be like Police Academy 2.
Okay, Police Academy 2. But yeah, I mean, it's just bad. Yeah. Yeah, it's super bad. Like the writing part of it and the storyline and listen, if you love this show, I'm telling you, if you love the show, love it. I'm not telling you gotta hate it or anything, but just be honest and say, yeah, this is pretty bad writing. This is a pretty bad story. Like I have my, you know, my movies and my shows that I love too that are just absolutely god awful, you know, like when it comes to storytelling. But it's just holds a special place in my heart. Power Rangers, for the love of God, is the worst story to like writing ever and stuff. I love every single Power Rangers. Exactly. It's the corniest thing in the world. But you put on the Green Ranger saga, you know, from back in the day and stuff like that, I'll watch that thing from beginning to end. No issues whatsoever. Yeah. So if you love it, you love it. I'm with you know, I support you on it. But for me, it's just
don't front. This is bad.
Yeah, this is bad. This is really, really bad. The whole virgins thing, how the witches were able to create Osha and May, I guess using a singular, you know, chromosome, midichlorian and stuff. It doesn't make sense now, because how can Saul have an attachment to Osha and not May if they are the same exact person, right? If you're splitting a clone, they're not twins like Luke and Leia and, you know, and other twins that we've seen in in Star Wars. If they're literally the same exact person, that doesn't make sense. How Soul can have a connection. And it doesn't make sense how one can be good and one can be bad. If you're the identical, you know, relic of of one, you should be in line, right? It's not.
Maybe that's why they switched them up, to show that both of them are easily, you know, susceptible to the light and the dark, because, you know, people have been theorizing. I think even we had mentioned, you know, what if Osha ends up being the one that goes with Kamir and May ends up going to the light. But even with all of that, this whole way they split, I even mentioned, you know, what if, I think I mentioned this back in our first or second one, what if they are the same? What if they are just a split being? So I'm going to give myself a credit for saying that was a possibility, because I kept saying it feels so weird that they both seem to be wishy-washy on who's more for their mom and coven, who's more for the Jedi. They're so wishy-washy on every position that they have, and that I kept even mentioning it feels confusing. I'm losing track of which one's which because there's no consistency between them. Right. Well, maybe that's the consistency, is they literally are both sides of the same coin because they are both the same coin. But I don't care. And I don't care how they were made. I don't care who's the, like, none of it matters. It's not going to change anything. And this is one of those issues with still staying, even though you don't have a Palpatine or Skywalker in sight. This is one of those issues with still staying so close to current times. It's like, this isn't going to matter. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Don't care.
Yeah, like, this episode felt very... modern in its theme of, you know, like education versus home, you know, bound, you know, who's right, the parents, or, you know, you have, you know, the witches and the mother, Anasaya, right? You know, allowing the daughters to choose their paths and, you know, and being all about the ascension and stuff and everything. But then Soul comes in, the savior, you can't do these to these kids, and you have no clue what the hell's going on in this home.
Yep.
And one kid wants to leave, oh, I'm going to go save her and stuff. Like, that to me was too, like, modern of a theme that's going on right now in education and just in the home lives with parents and families and stuff and everything. And that took me out of this episode. You know, you always talk about how you, when you watch these shows, you want to be taken away. You don't want to think about, you know, modern things.
Escapism,
right? And that's what it was to me right here. You know, take away the metal detector, you know.
Good God, dude. That was so...
Could we have not have thought of something else besides the damn metal detector?
It was so dumb. Like I said, they're scanning things and it should be for search through the Force. The metal detector is stupid. It's
legit like putting a Keurig coffee maker on the show, right? And say, hey, I'm going to make some Jawa juice right now. And
well,
just,
I mean,
go
that
to
one
the
guy
Keurig
is carrying around the was it a juicer or an ice cream maker and the what you call it, but you can't.
You never
it
knew it.
Look like,
yeah.
That's a freaking, and he's detecting on the ground. Stupid. Yeah. As stupid as the freaking credits song.
Oh, that was the worst. That's really
I have been one of those who has been critical of a lot of things in Star Wars music. I said I didn't like traditional, like, rock and roll type instruments playing in Kenobi. I wasn't a big fan of the cyberpunk synth wave was that Mando 3? Whenever they were bouncing to Coruscant and the former Imperials on Coruscant. That was Mando 3, like the former Mando Imperials on Coruscant. So I'm not with that. And if you're going to have lyrics, I think it should be alien languages to allow more of that separation from Earth and stuff like that. Having this be a credit song even is too far for me. It is as infuriating as that god-awful droid played by the brilliant David Tennant saying a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. I hate that shit. You are breaking down everything that separates Star Wars from Earth, and I despise you all for it. fuck you. This video is not getting monetized. I don't even give a shit. Fuck you, fuck you, fuck you.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not to that extreme of it and stuff.
It
was a gamble that did not pay off. I mean, it's you waited till the seventh episode, a seventh out of eight.
They announced that song on Father's Day.
Right. They announced it, and then you wait till the seventh episode to drop it down. Like, if you're going to do it, you got to do it at the, like, in the very beginning, you know, first episode. So it kind of like, oh, okay, this is something different. But you hyped it up. You try to make it something that's like, okay, this is going to be Star Wars. We're going to, you know, we're going to focus on the Sith and stuff. And you take it in a whole different direction. Fine. It's okay with it. But you can't just all of a sudden change the script on it in the seventh episode and then drop a song here. And listen, it by itself, I mean, probably, you know, a decent song that, you know, probably gets plenty of views,
sure,
and plays on.
It's not my thing.
Spotify, yeah, whatever and stuff. But to add it there and say and think that like a regular Star Wars fan, right, is gonna just sit there and be like, "Oh, this is amazing. Let me go download this." And now it's a bad. It was a gamble and it didn't pay off. You know, it's you have to have respect to this franchise. I mean, this is, you know. This is as close as you can get to a religion without it being a full-blown religion. And to mess with it in those type of ways, you're taking a serious risk. Sometimes it pays off, sometimes it doesn't. You know, just imagine that song being on at the end of a Star Trek show of Next Generation, or, you know, any of the modern Star Wars or Star Trek stuff. I don't think it flies either, you know? Mm-hmm. There's just some things you don't do to IPs, right? You know,
yeah.
And that's one. You know, you have a franchise that has been basically created by John Williams, and music wise, right? You know, and that's what you think of when you think of Star Wars. You think of the Star Wars theme song. You think of, you know, the Imperial March, Leia's theme, Anakin's theme,
even Rey's theme, which is
Rey's theme, right? Yeah, all those things. And then you're gonna say, "Nah, screw that. We're gonna put in a modern song."
Yeah,
it doesn't work, guys. Like, I don't. This is where I just don't understand. Where are the people in Lucasfilm or wherever? And just say, "This is, guys. This is a bad idea. This is not gonna work well." That you know.
I'll be your guys's filter, please. Yeah, let me I don't even need to make a story choice. I just need to be, or, you know, pitch stories. I'll just tell you if something's a bit too far,
right? And, you know, and not saying that the song didn't need to be a part of it, but it could have been, you know, just like they used to do back in the day with soundtracks, right? That, like, you would never hear, you know, they would, you know, artists would do songs that were inspired by the show and stuff, yeah, or by a movie, and you just come out with the song, yeah, and it's like, okay, this was you know, the Batman, Batman Forever soundtrack?
Kissed by a Rose.
Kissed by a Rose. You never heard that song in the soundtrack, but one of the most popular songs of all time, because it was inspired by the movie.
Played in the credits.
Right. And like, that
just like this
worked.
Did.
Exactly. You could have easily put a Spotify playlist together, you know, something like a track, you know, set, and say, "This is inspired by," with a couple other songs by the Acolyte. And I guarantee it would not have had so much of a negative reaction to it.
Yeah,
if you like the song, great, great. You like the song, but wrong place, wrong time.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's everything about this show is the woulda, coulda, shoulda, you know, that, like, you missed the mark completely. You know, if there was a dartboard on it, you're way off. Like, I'm sorry. You know, you can't convince me otherwise. There's
no. Not at
this
all.
This has if you like the show as is, great. But this has nothing to do with Star Wars. This has nothing to do with the High Republic. I've read the High Republic, some of the books and stuff like that, not all of them and stuff. But this has nothing to do with the High Republic. This is a standalone show that literally, if you took the word Star Wars off of it, would not even make it onto social media
one
would care about the show.
This would be universally hated by critics and fans alike. This would not
be getting
the praise if it wasn't a Star Wars show.
It would be on Tubi. You have to realize, like, this show, if you took away the title Star Wars, it would not make it on Disney Plus. It wouldn't make it on Paramount Plus. It wouldn't make it on Max. It wouldn't make it on Netflix, even though Netflix sometimes gets some of the more crazy shit out there and stuff. But they even started to nitpick on what they put on their streaming platforms. This is going to be on Tubi or some one of those lower level streaming services. And that's what I don't get, you know, like why so many of these Star Wars fans, I know there's new Star Wars fans out there that enjoy the sequel trilogy, more power to you and stuff. But this is like, this has got, I can find things in the sequel trilogy to like about it and, you know, and to say, yeah, hey, this is, I can see why people like this stuff. But this is god awful writing.
This is bad.
This is a god awful story.
I will say that. Go ahead.
You can't tell me that this is a good storytelling. Like, I understand.
Yeah.
I liked, you know, most Sylvester Stallone movies in the 80s. The writing's horrible, you know, and stuff.
Come on, his 90s films were amazing. You got Daylight.
They got better. Oh, I love Daylight. Don't get me wrong. The Edge was okay and stuff. I'm a big Sylvester Stallone fan.
Cliffhanger.
Yeah. Oh, man. And think about Arnold Schwarzenegger movies, man. I mean, most of them are one-liners and stuff that, like, you just, you know, get to the chopper and stuff. But, you know.
I will say this. I cannot wait for the prequel apologists to get what's coming to them when sequel fans and Disney fans do to them exactly what they did to us.
Yeah, I mean,
20 years from now. It's going to happen.
It's going to happen, but, you know. It's a cycle. Like, you know, we're the old school, and I'm kind of in that tweener. I'm an old original trilogy. I'm old enough for the original trilogy, but young enough for the prequels and stuff. But just, I don't know. It's just, this is god awful. This is
awful.
Yeah. I'm on that bandwagon.
Let's go ahead and do some grades here.
Yeah.
Episode 6, I guess I'll give it a C. Episode 7, fail. F. It's garbage.
Yeah. Episode 6, it's C is about right. Yeah, because the Venestra storyline didn't need to be added to it. Souls is bad. The Khmer storyline was the best part of it. If it had just been Khmer and Osha, probably gave it closer to like a B minus in that area. Episode 7 didn't need to happen. Like, it's a wasted assignment, you know. And so yeah, that's a straight F on that one.
Yeah. Garbage. Was episode 6 with all the lightsaber fighting?
No, episode 5 was the lightsaber fighting.
Mm-hmm. Why did we give 5 D plus? I thought it would have been higher, but I guess not.
D plus?
Oh, no, you gave it a D plus. That's right. The lightsaber stuff wasn't. I gave it a C plus. So, yeah, my grade is good. C and F.
The reason why I gave it was just because of the lightsaber fighting. Everything else made absolutely no sense.
Things are just dumb. I will say this, guys. You can go read an article on LRMonline.com. Cam wrote it up. Covers a bunch of stuff said by Leslie Headland, the showrunner, creator, however you want to phrase it, wrote some of these episodes. A lot of good information in here on their thought process, which seems to be very minimal thought, maybe a lot of process, but I don't know. But you can go check those out, LRMonline.com. Did you have any other comments today, Shockey?
No. Just if you have, share your thoughts in the comment section with us. Yeah. Just, you know, let us know what you think. Even if you're just big supporter of, you know, the Acolyte, let us know why. Because I've got to be honest with you. I can't find one positive thing about the show. But tell me, like, in you know, and if you want to come on the Cantina and kind of give your voice and stuff of why you like it, by all means, we'll have you on here and stuff. But we're not trying to be an echo chamber and only, you know, talk to the people that hate the Acolyte or only, you know, original trilogy fans and stuff. We want to expand and stuff, and we want to be honest though with what we critique. And so if you think that this is good, you know, let us know. And if it's something you're very passionate about, come on, and we invite
defend thyself. You guys can check out the article I mentioned and more celebrity interviews, other written reviews, entertainment news and leaks, rumors, coverage, lrmonline.com. Subscribe here on the Genreverse for more Star Wars content, lots of anime content. Check out some of our anime expo videos. And merch at Redbubble, podcasts on all your favorite podcast apps. I've got another show to do. I've been Kyle. That's been Mike. And we'll see you guys on the next one. May the Force be with you.